So we've been doing things, a few things, not wholesale changes, but some things a little differently this morning. I'm just wondering, what are some things that have gone through your mind this morning as we have done some of these different things in our worship, whether it be different Lord's Prayer or different prayer of adoration or new song? You know, what are some things that go through your mind as you do experience change in a worship service like this?
Bonnie?
Mm-hmm. But the tune was wrong. Kevin! I'm just kidding.
I think it's good because instead of doing what we were just used to doing without thinking about it, mm-hmm. it made us really look at it and think about what it means.
Yeah. What else? What are some of the... Kurt?
There's doubt.
Doubt, yeah.
Of what is next?
Yeah, good point. It doesn't just roll along in quite the same way. You don't know what's next. Doris, what are you... Yeah. Anything else?
I like traditions.
You like traditions? I'm glad someone said it. Because change, even when we're seeing the positive in change, it's still harder. You know, you have to pay more attention. You have to focus more. You have to, yeah. So change, and I think even the best changes still make us a little uncomfortable. Don't they? Can we agree on that? For me, as a worship leader, I'm sitting here. You know, it's easy to get into that. You know, this is how we always do it, and it's easier on a Sunday morning when everything's the same and I know what's coming. It is different for me as well up here. Now, I'm not saying that all change is good change, okay? And we're not pursuing change for change's sake, okay? Not everything is progress, but I do believe that in the Christian life and in the church, change is necessary. Change and transformation have to be a reality for the very simple reason that none of us are there yet. We are not perfect people. We are not a perfect community here. And so, change is a reality, a necessity. Transformation is. God's character doesn't change. But we're not God, and we don't all have God's character. And so change becomes a necessary part in the life of the disciple. And I think that's part of what James is getting at in our passage in this morning in James 1. I think James is saying that as much as we may go to church and read our Bibles, we're not really listening if we're not really changing. If our lives aren't looking differently as we move through this Christian life, we're not really listening to the message of the gospel. And this morning I want to look at change and transformation from a couple different perspectives. I want to talk about the relationship of the gospel, which is the heart of the church, which is the heart of who we are as Christians, the gospel and transformation, how those things relate, because I think that's what James is talking about. And then also, since we've been talking about the scriptures and learning to listen to the scriptures, I want to talk about how the scriptures relate to transformation and how we can really engage them in a way that we are experiencing good and positive change. So first, the gospel and transformation. James talks about the importance of being doers of the word and not just hearers. And it's easy to read this passage and to then think that the gospel is really about doing, about what we do. Kind of setting aside, you know, this choice. I can either be a hearer of the word or a doer of the word. And given the choice, I'm going to be a doer of the word instead of a hearer of the word. But that's not what James is saying. James is saying that it is important to listen to the word. It's the foundation for his whole argument. In verse 18, for example, just before our passage today, it says, "In fulfillment of God's own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So he's talking about the power of the word. In verse 21, at the end of verse 21, it says, he says to welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. And I think James is talking about the scriptures culminating in the gospel message. And he says, welcome that word. Okay? In the passage itself, in verse 25, he says, "But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty." And what is that besides listening to the Word and the Scriptures and the gospel message? It is important that we listen to the Word. Again, not the world, to the Word. But James knows that as much as we listen, as much as we open our ears, as much as we do these religious activities where we hear the Word, we tend to settle into our faith, settle back into the routines, things that are comfortable to us, settle back into a passive life of hearing instead of an active life of doing. Someone has said, and actually many people have said, I don't know who said it first, but that the gospel has three parts. The gospel is that God has saved us. God has, in our conversion or whenever we heard the gospel for the first time and received it, God has saved us and forgiven us and wiped us clean and taken us from darkness into light. The gospel is about God who is saving us right now, transforming us. And the gospel is about a God who will save in the future, who will make all things right. And all three of those are really valid New Testament ways of talking about saving or salvation. They're used. God has saved, God is saving, God will save. God will save. And it's easy for us as Christians, because these are the two things that don't affect us in the immediate moment, to get focused on God has saved. Oh, I became a Christian. I've always been a Christian in the past. And God will save. Oh, God is going to come back and make all things right. It's easy for us to get focused on those two things and ignore that middle part. God is saving me right now. God is saving us right now. And James is saying that the gospel, the Word, is also about right now, about what God is doing right now in our lives. He says, if we are really listening, we are going to want to get into that salvation tenaciously, right now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to settle for what's happened in the past. We don't want to wait for the future. We want to experience God's work, God's power, God's love transforming us right now. If we're really listening, we are going to want to live the Word. We're going to want to be doers of the Word. And his challenge, and his challenge is very blunt and forward. If the Word isn't changing you now, if you're not seeing any difference in your life, and now I'm not saying every day is a radical big transformation, okay? I'm not saying that. And there are times where God is doing work under the surface before it shows up, okay? But if you are not seeing changes in your life, or aware of some of the ways that God is changing you, or if people in your life aren't seeing any difference in your life, he says, then you're not really listening. And you might want to call into the question this whole gospel that you're believing or this religion that you're following, because maybe it isn't real. James has a test for us, kind of a multiple choice kind of thing, to see, are we really listening? Not just hearing the Word, are we doers of the Word? And he says, here are some things you can look at. He says, if any think they are religious, this is verse 26, and do not bridle their tongues. Are you bridling your tongue? Do you know what bridling your tongue means? Probably. Are you in control of your words? Paul in Ephesians says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. Are you really aware of how the words you speak, are they bringing grace to others? Or are they just reckless words? If not, maybe your religiosity is worthless. But deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless, those who don't bridle their tongue. It says, then the second part of the test, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress. Orphans and widows, of course, were the most vulnerable of James's society, and still in many ways are. But James, I think, as a whole, is talking about the most vulnerable. Are we caring for the most vulnerable people in our society, going out of our way to do that? He says, if not, Maybe all your claims to being a Christian are empty, are a facade. And then he says, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Are you noticeably different than people in the culture around you who aren't Christians, who aren't trying to follow Jesus? Is your life different? Or do you just blend in with the rest of the culture around you? If you're not noticeably different, maybe what you call faith is really just self-deception. I'm not saying it. James says it. How do you answer this question? How has God been saving you? How has God been transforming you? How has God been making you more like Jesus in the past 10 years? Can you point to things where you really see transformation, where you see God, I am a different person in the last 10 years because of Jesus. In the last year, can you point to ways God has been transforming you? In the last month, can you point to things where you see God working and moving and changing you? Not just have you changed, because we all change all the time, but how are you more like Jesus, more like Christ, a brighter reflection for God and His love now than you were before? And if you are struggling to find some response to that question, maybe it's time to rethink this faith that you have, or this religion, or this gospel that you're believing. Because maybe it isn't the real gospel. James is saying that the gospel is inseparable from transformation. If you don't have transformation in your life going on, you don't really have the gospel. You have something else. You may come to church, you may be a member of the church, you may do religious things like read your Bible and pray, and all those things make you hearers of the word. But if you're not changing, then you're not really listening. If you're not a doer of the word, living it out, then maybe you're not really listening. The gospel is inseparable from transformation. How does that relate to the scriptures that we've been talking about for the last few weeks and listening to God in the scriptures? Well, I want to, last Sunday we talked about how the scriptures lead us to Jesus, and I was having a conversation with Alan afterwards, and he said, I think he made a really good point, and so I tried to diagram Alan's point that he made last week up here, okay? So the scriptures lead us to Jesus, which is extremely important, right? When we talked about why that's important last week. But as we come to Jesus and God and encounter Him and learn to trust Him, then God sends us back into the scriptures to show us how to live. If we haven't come to Jesus first, we're not going to trust Him to live out the word, right? And so we come to Jesus first, but then we go enter back into the scriptures so that we can move forward. Click, please. So that we can move forward with Jesus, with the scriptures, with the Holy Spirit at work in us to actually live the life. To be doers of the word and not just hearers. God uses the scriptures to transform us. They're an instrument that God uses to sculpt us and change us. Without knowing the scriptures, how do you know what you're even being transformed into? How do you know if you're reflecting Jesus without them? If you're not in the Bible, your change is probably being molded into something else. Maybe molded into the image of our culture. Maybe into some image of pop spirituality. Maybe into the image of someone in your family or someone else in your life. But if you're not in the scriptures, you're not being molded into a reflection of Jesus, the image of Christ that God has called us to. James is not pitting reading the Bible against living the life. He's saying, do not separate these things. They're both essential. And if you look at James's test for religion, where does he get the parts of this test? Right out of the scriptures. Right out of them. Bridling your tongue. I've been reading Proverbs since the new year. Man, there's all kinds of biblical wisdom about how we use our words and our speech and being in control of that. Right out of the scriptures, James takes that test of true religion. Caring for the most vulnerable. Boy, that's all over there too. Just one of the verses, one of those verses is up there. What about keeping oneself unstained by the world, being different? All through the Scriptures. In Leviticus, there's a refrain where God says, "Be holy as I am holy." Be different. Your community, you, your life should look different than all the people around you. James's test of true religion is right out of the Scriptures. Without the Scriptures, without knowing them, without getting into them, we're just making up our own religion. We're just becoming whoever we want to become, or just as bad or worse, what someone else wants us to become. And so, it's important that we approach the Scriptures, but not just to read them, to approach them as an instrument of transformation that God is using to make us more like Christ. I heard a sermon lecture, I'm not sure what it was, one time, from a guy named Crawford Laritz, and something he said really stuck with me, and I found the quote. And these are principles for preachers, but I really think they apply to just anyone who encounters the Bible, who's opening up the Scriptures. And I want to share a couple of those. First principle, he said, and this is what really stuck with me. Don't ever dare to stand in front of a group of people with a Bible in your hand and not expect change. We must have a holy confidence. Confidence in God and His Word. Confidence that God is going to change lives whenever we speak from this book. And it applies to, I think, opening it at home too. Don't open this book unless you're ready for God to change you. Unless you're ready for God to cut to your heart, as it says in Acts, and speak a word right to you and change you more into the image of Christ. That's how we approach this book, as an instrument of transformation. His second principle was, remember that the goal of all ministry is transformation. It is not about being liked. It is not about being accepted. And I would add, it's not about getting warm, fuzzy feelings every time you go to church or open the Scriptures. God's ultimate goal is to change lives. I've added a third principle. He has a third principle, but it's more specifically towards preachers. I'm adding a third principle. That this is not about, this book is not about self-improvement. These aren't just rules to live by. Transformation happens when we allow God in by the Spirit to change us. So we're not just going to beat our heads against the wall trying to do it ourselves. When we open the Scriptures, we're opening them up so that the Spirit can move through them and speak to our hearts and bring transformation to our hearts. We're simply coming with the spirit of faith, saying, God, change me as you will. Do with me what you want. That's, I think, how the Scriptures relate to transformation and this goal that God has of changing our lives. I want to share with you some practical tips, as I've been doing each week. Some of these are kind of repeats, but with some changes. Excuse me. To approach the Bible as an instrument of transformation, one of the questions that is really important to ask as you read it, if you want to do that, is to ask, so what? That's a question we ask a lot around here. So what? You know, that's the question that transitions from being a hearer of the Word to a doer of the Word. So what? What does it mean for me? How can I do this Word? How can I live this Word out? Here's a quick process, a three-step process as you engage the Scriptures. The first step is asking, what did it mean? What did it mean? Okay, that's study, engaging it with our minds. We want to know what the Bible's actually saying. Okay, so we study it, we get into what it did mean. For instance, when Jesus says, love your enemies, what did that mean? Jesus was talking to Jews who were oppressed by Roman people. They were living displaced in their land. They were living not the way they wanted to live. And there were a lot of ways where these pagan Roman people were persecuting them and oppressing them. And Jesus is telling these Jews, love your enemies. So we get into some of the radicalness of what Jesus was actually saying. Okay, what did it mean? Second, we ask, what does it mean for me now generally? You're kind of bringing out a principle of the text. Okay, Jesus said to love your enemies, and so I am called to go out of my way to love people who oppose me. Okay, so you see how that's a general application moving in the direction of becoming a doer of the word? Third question then, and this is the hard one, this is where it really gets to the heart, what does it mean for me specifically? Specifically. Okay, so the principle is, I'm supposed to go out of my way to love people who oppose me. Specifically, what does that mean? Okay, maybe at work, I have this boss who I really don't like. All right? And no one else likes my boss either. And every day, we engage in this venting session where we all complain and call our boss names and talk about what a jerk he or she is. Okay? But I'm supposed to love my enemies, so maybe one of the ways I can be a doer of the word specifically is next day I go to work, and when that conversation begins, speak up on behalf of my boss and say, this is not appropriate here. We may have disagreements, but I don't want to participate in bashing him or her. So you see how that process goes. What did it mean? What does it mean for me generally? What does it mean for me specifically? That's how we move from being hearers to doers. Second tip. I brought this up before. We're okay. Everyone's okay. Journaling. I really encourage journaling as you read the scriptures. It's one step towards doing something about what you've read. Okay? But journal in a way that is asking God, how do I live this out? Maybe in your notebook or your journal, you write the question, so what? And then you prayerfully ask God to help you answer that question. So what? How do I respond to this? Write it down. Get it concrete. Or maybe in your notebook, you come up with a brainstorm list of all kinds of creative or crazy ideas that God might be calling you to live this out. And so you can take from that list and start applying it as you will. But write it down. And then third, so ask the question, so what? Journal, and then discuss. Discuss it with other people. Maybe someone in your family who you share faith with. Maybe you have a walking partner or a coffee partner. Or maybe you don't like coffee, but it's okay if you order tea or hot chocolate, okay? People don't usually look down on that, all right? I'm not a coffee person myself, but maybe you just have someone in your life who you share a walk or coffee or something with that you can have this conversation, that you can share what you're learning and ask them if they have ideas about how you might be able to apply this and be a doer of the word. This isn't preaching to them time. This is asking them for suggestions and ideas about how you or how you both can live out what the scriptures are calling us to. Those are some tips for the day. Now, I have great respect for religious practices. Things like going to church on Sunday, worshiping on Sunday, things like prayer, Bible reading, these are all religious practices and I think they're very important. But only if they are instruments by which we are encountering God and being transformed by Him. Because sometimes these religious practices just become part of the status quo. Just the things we do, just part of our routine. We just go through the religious motions. And then, as James says, we are engaged in worthless religion and self-deception. And we could point to a lot of passages where God has some pretty ill feelings towards religious, empty religious practices. So as we listen to God's word, as we get into the scriptures, let's listen with an ear to transformation and change. How is God wanting to enter into my life? Help me to more brightly and powerfully shine His light to the world. How is God transforming me? How am I becoming a doer, a liver of the word, not just a hearer? Let's pray. gracious and holy God. Thank you for not just allowing us to sit with ourselves the way we are, and for giving us hope that you might actually have something better for us. Lord, take away our fear of change at your hands. Help us to trust you enough to come to you, open with faith and trust, allowing you to change us and sculpt us and mold us. Help us to have a vision for being Christ's light to the world and ambassadors for your gospel. And I pray that in this community and in our individual lives, your Spirit would enter in, transform us from the inside out. Help us to live and do the Word, however you would have us to do that. Amen.